Okay. Ran across something in Isaiah that I think is pretty relevant. Well, Isaiah 32, but what we're going to do first is we're going to cover three keys to biblical prophecy. I don't study a whole bunch of prophecy from the Old Testament, but this was pretty neat. I'm going to show you what I read and what I really like, but Isaiah 32, 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful land. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are you that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Now this is talking about the coming king. But we want to make sure we're getting things in order. So we're going to look at these three keys to biblical prophecy. The first one would be in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. There's a lot of prophecy in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He declares the beginning from the end. God spoke several things way before they happened. I would say a lot more than several things. You can look at all these things, like just the prophesying of the coming Messiah as a child, where this baby was going to be born, and all these different things, and all this, how all these events were going to take place, and all of these things happened just the way he said they were going to happen. I think sometimes we got our focus on some of the wrong people, some of the things that are going to happen to the wrong people. And now some of the things that are happening now, they're happening to the right people. It was just, we didn't know it was going to happen to them. You know, the things that are happening right now, you know, we're living, there's biblical prophecy that is happening right now, right before our eyes. It's happening. But it's happening to the evil people. It's not happening to the people that we thought it was going to happen. It's happening to the evil people, and they're getting conquered. That's good news. This is how we end up living in peace. This is how we end up living in prosperity. For almost ever since I started going to church, I started hearing about the great transfer of wealth, how the 1% of the population controlled 90% of the wealth, and how that was going to be transferred eventually, how the wealth of the wicked was laid up for the just. Now I'm seeing that happen. Their kingdom is being destroyed before our very eyes. The second key to prophecy we'll find in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. We've heard that. We've heard people say that there's no new thing under the sun. I don't know how many times I've heard that. But actually, they're talking about biblical prophecy. What God said is true, and it will happen, or it has happened. He is not going to be denied. His word is true. His word will do what he said it would do. I don't know how exactly the millennial reign happens, but that sounds like a peaceful event to me, where the devil is taken out of the way and we live in peace for 1,000 years. Can you imagine living in peace with people that you were told to hate all your life? You know, we've been told to hate all the Chinese. We've been told to hate all the Russians. But, you know, I haven't ran into any Chinese that truly hate me. I haven't run into any Russians that truly hate me. But there's people behind the scene that keep us agitated and keep us fighting and bickering. It's called the spirit of division. The devil knows that if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. The devil knows that if any group of people come together in the spirit of unity, he's toast. That's what we need to strive for, is coming together in the spirit of unity. You know, we don't all have to agree on everything, but we do have to agree to be agreeable. You know, we can find something to agree on. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 is going to be our third key. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't understand all the one day is 1,000 years, and I don't really believe that we need to be trying to count time that way. But with God, he always was and he always is. He is without beginning and without end. So 1,000 years could be like a day to him. He's eternal. So we can't even seem to grasp his time scale. But those are some things to look for. Now, you look through all the way from Isaiah chapter 30 all the way to 32. They're talking about a whole bunch of things. They're talking about trouble for the Egyptian alliance. They're talking about the coming king. Egypt, to me, can be seen as the world. You know, we're told not to look to the world for our comfort. We're told not to look to the world for our answers, but to look to God. If you noticed Abraham, when he got in a drought and he got in trouble, he went down to Egypt, and he got more trouble. Then when he came back out of Egypt, he pitched his tent at Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. He got away from the world system and got back to where God was. and God provided for him. Isaac got in trouble, and he went down to Egypt, and he got in more trouble. He got out of Egypt, and he went to the land that God told him to go to, and he sowed in that land. He sowed in a drought. There was a famine. He sowed in that famine, and he had a wonderful, bountiful blessing, a great crop, a bumper crop. You know, we can take some of these things out of the Old Testament and use them in our modern day life. My friend said, well, Isaac sowed in a famine and he reaped a hundredfold return. So he was in a drought in Montana and he sowed wheat. He said, you don't have to have rain to grow wheat. So he grew wheat, and then everybody else around him plowed their wheat up because it didn't grow. Some of them, if they were fortunate, they got it tall enough where they could bale it up for hay. But his grew where he could get a combine. So then somebody asked him, said, well, what kind of a truck you want? I want a big truck. Because he was expecting a big bumper crop, and he got a really good crop without any rain. How does that happen? By the word of God. God caused that to happen. But he stood on the word of God. I've seen people do this with the weather a lot of times. The same friend of mine, he got where he said, there's always going to be winter, there's always going to be snow, there's always going to be ice in Wyoming. Well, my other friend said, well, I'm not going to have that. I'm going to have warm, nice winter. I'm going to have nice winter. So I called my brother. It was in December, and I asked him what he was doing. He said he was golfing. You're golfing? He said, yeah, your friend Jess is with me too. So he put Jess on the phone, and Jess said, I decided I just wasn't going to have that winter time here. So right here at Upton, it's really good. Once you get to the Sunny Slope Road, it just turns to hardcore winter. That's where my other friend lived. They both got what they believed for. In chapter 32, verse 1, says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. That sounds like all remnants of the curse are going to be removed. It's going to be interesting how things come together in these last days. And I truly believe that we're on the crest of a new dispensation. You know, some say we got another 30 years. Some say, you know, we're already past due. I don't know the Hebrew calendar. But I know we're close. Now, verse 5, I found to be really interesting. It says, the vile person shall be no more called liberal. I couldn't help myself. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. Huh? Yeah, verse 5 says the vile person shall no longer be called liberal. The what? You got a different translation. So, but the vile person shall no more be called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and in his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter errors against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. When I read those verses, I think of Washington, D.C., I think of our politicians. And then I wonder about all these rivers that have been contaminated all of a sudden by these train wrecks, where the poisons have been released into the poison. I wonder if that is part of the end time, where the waters got poisoned. And then I look and I see how the great Euphrates River is drying up. And that's important for the armies of the east to come through to Israel. And they're going to encompass Israel. But look, these armies are not coming after the Hebrew people. They're coming after the evil people. They are going to encompass Israel. I always wondered about Benjamin Netanyahu, because I never was quite absolutely sure what side of the fence he was on. I believed he was a good guy. But then now, when chaos has hit the street, he was going to make some kind of a change, and chaos hit the streets, and people are protesting one of the biggest... Huh? Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. And one of the biggest deep staters in Israel jumped up and started railing on him. I thought, this guy is right on the mark. He's right on the money. He's in there at just the right time. And they're calling him what they wanted to do. You know, they were saying that he was wanting to have a communist regime, you know, and that, or a dictatorship. They were calling him a dictator. Yeah. But they project over onto the good people what they plan on doing. So it's exciting to see things happening in Israel. I don't know exactly how all this is going to take place. But the evil people are going to be removed from every nation. And that has to be in order for the transfer of wealth to happen. But in verse 7, it says, the instruments also of the churl are evil. He devised wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. Have you ever noticed how a lot of these people say they're out to protect the working man, you know, or they're out to help the poor people. And then when they get elected, that's the last thing they do. They lie through their teeth to get a vote, and then when it's time to take care of the poor people, they don't. I noticed that the most devastated cities in our nation belong to the liberal government. And people still believe in them. And here's why they believe in them. They keep them focused on somebody else, saying, these people are causing you the problem. When all along, it's their own politician. I finally decided that if I hear anything from any mainstream media, I'm going to assume it's a lie until they prove otherwise. 'Cause they've are batting pretty much 100% record on that. But the liberal devise liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. And he's talking about how the evil people have an effect on this world. They are going to be taken out of this, out of the way. They talk about the separation of the wheat from the tares. And I think now that the tares and the wheat are being separated right before our eyes. There's very few politicians that haven't exposed themselves now. DeSantis was one of the last ones that I know of. He decided he was a deep stater. He just ruined his political career the other day. But they have to expose themselves. The church world is going through the same thing, I've noticed. There's some of them that have decided that they're absolutely going to stay away from the things of God. There's some churches that I've heard pastors say that they doubt if Jesus is even the Son of God. Are you crazy? There are some churches that think it's the will of God to have abortions. See, this is why it's so important to just stay on the Bible and forget any traditions, forget any theology that goes against the Word of God. No matter how they try to twist it, no matter how they try to make it comfortable for you. But unfortunately, we have people that want preachers to make the Word of God comfortable for them. And that just won't do. That just won't do. We do have a 6,000-year land lease. And every 2,000 years, God did something very significant. You know, in the beginning, he created Adam. A couple thousand years later, he cut a covenant with Abraham. And I believe to the millisecond, at the same place, Jesus went to the same place that Isaac went to be crucified. I believe it was to the second 2,000 years later. Now here we are, wandering around at the end of our 6,000-year reign. We got to be close. I don't know if we're going to just get raptured out of here and the whole mess gets cleaned up and then we come back. I don't know exactly how all that happens. But I do know this, that Jesus is Lord. You know, we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We will rest in peace. And if you've noticed, there's a lot of people that are getting really, really crazy right now. They're really, really worried about what's going on. The Gentiles should be worried. You know, that was a wild thing we just learned the other day about the FBI going in. It was a bank in Idaho, wasn't it? California, Bank of California. They went to this bank. There's safety deposit boxes, and there was six or nine people they were interested in looking at. And so they were going to go in there and look at those six. Well, they went in there and cleaned out all of the boxes and walked out of there with $87 million in cash, and gold, and silver, and jewelry. People that had nothing to do with what was going on. They just cleaned them out too. In chapter 30, verse 31, it says, "For the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with the rod, and in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. For the Tophet is ordained of old, for the king it is prepared, he hath made it deep and large, the pile thereof is fire and much wood, the breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, does kindle it. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, for not to run to the world for help." Now, the government wants people to run to them. They've been working on getting people dependent on them for a long time. Welfare, all kinds of different, you know, freebies. There's generations of people that haven't worked. They've lived on welfare for generations. They want everybody to be dependent on the government. We're not to look to the government for our help. Matter of fact, as far as the government is concerned, the only thing they need to do for us is secure the borders, take care of the national defense, and stay out of our way. That's what the government is supposed to do. But they worked a long time in getting people dependent on them. We're not to depend on the government. Ronald Reagan said, "They are not your friend." And that's true. They're of the world. God knows better how to take care of you than the government does. Don't look to the world. When things get really crazy, don't look to them for your answers. Don't look to them for your provision. Look to God. It's coming. There's going to be choices to be made. A lot of people are going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to choose to look to God, or you're going to look to the world. And if you look to the world, you're in trouble. Okay. I'm going to stop there for now. One thing I want to look at is in chapter 30, verse 30. It says, "The Lord shall cause his voice to be heard." The Lord shall cause his voice to be heard. He will be heard. He is going to establish his kingdom on this earth. The Bible tells us about the New Jerusalem coming down and setting down on this earth. And Jesus is going to reign from there, on this earth. What a wonderful day that's going to be. But we've got a lot of preparation to do, because he wants to have as many people in his family as possible. He doesn't want anybody left behind. Okay. That's all. We're going to stop there, and we'll do some more adventure on this next week. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. And even though we don't know everything that's going to happen, we know that you're on top of it, and you're going to take care of us. as we look to you as our source, as the source of our supply, and we look to you for our provision and our protection, because you are the Good Shepherd. You are our Good Shepherd. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.